Hello and a warm welcome to the Sweet Spot, your go-to golf tipping show brought to you by The Racing Post. It's Jack Reeve and it's Steve Palmer to look back on two tournaments in the shape of the Aussie PGA and the Joburg Open. Three tournaments to look forward to this week. We've got the Aussie Open, the South African Open and the Hero World Challenge, the best players in the world taken to the course this week. Steve, it was a frustrating week last week, the one that got away in the Aussie PGA, and wow, a capitulation from Thriston the Piston over in Johannesburg.
Yeah, extremely challenging week, Jack. You know, the euphoria of the previous week was quickly replaced by something very different, wasn't it? I mean, we'll discuss it all at length in a minute, but in short, Cameron Smith. Minwoo Lee. Thriston Lawrence. I think that sums it up, doesn't it?
I mean, we could leave the reviews of the tournaments there. I think it was put very nicely. I mean, let's start in Australia. It was won by Minwoo Lee in a convincing fashion in the end. We went with Cam Smith. He missed the cut in emphatic fashion. And Minwoo Lee just hit the front and took charge. I mean, I feel like we've said everything we need to about Minwoo Lee over the last year or so, but just such an exciting player, a man going to the very top.
Absolutely. I mean, I told you last week, Jack, that I spent about 3 hours trying to decide between Cameron Smith and Minwoo Lee. You know, it's one of those decisions of just wrestling for who to put the main money on. It was such a tough decision, but I didn't feel there were any good reasons to oppose Cameron Smith. On reflection, there were some good reasons to oppose Smith, and I sincerely apologise to Sweet Spot community. The one I'm most angry about, Jack, is the tee times. It came to be on Wednesday night. He made a very sluggish start in round one on Wednesday night, and I remembered that they always put the best players out really early in the Australian PGA. Smith was teeing off at 6:10 a.m. local time in round one. You know, this is a LIV golfer who has got used to having the mornings off. You know, they don't play golf in the mornings on the LIV circuit. So that's a horribly early shift for a LIV golfer. That may have been a factor in his demise. And the other one I didn't think about until it was too late was the Olympic situation. I was getting a lot of questions in the media conference on Tuesday about the Olympics, because his world ranking issues that we discussed last week, they impact on the Olympics, because it looks like he's going to fail to qualify for the Olympics because the top two in the world rankings represent their country in the Olympics. And he looked quite sad about that in the pre-tournament media conference. I think maybe it suddenly dawned on him that he was going to miss out on the Olympics, and that may have messed with his head a little bit. But I think the main reason he flopped was something I feel like I couldn't have known about. It seems like he did only 9 holes of practice prior to the event on the course. So yeah, that seems a little bit complacent to me.
I was going to say, I mean, there's no reason why he would. I mean, he's got enough time on his hands, isn't he?
Well, absolutely. Do you remember what we were saying? Because we thought Cameron Smith would be better prepared than Minwoo Lee, didn't we? Because Minwoo Lee had that long journey from Dubai. I assume that Cameron Smith would be nicely settled in Brisbane and fresher for the fight and nicely prepared. But I'm not even sure he beat Minwoo to the venue, to be honest, Jack. I think Minwoo was there first, but from reading between the lines and 9 holes of practice, it was all a little bit lackluster from Smith. And he even changed his name on the website. Did you see on the DP World Tour website, he's now Cam Smith, officially Cam Smith. And, you know, he played like a casual, crappy casual golfer. I'm really angry.
Is this one where it was so bad you just have to kind of scratch through it and forget about it? Or, you know, are we going to be opposing him now going into future weeks? I mean, we don't want to spoil the preview for this week's tournament, but...
Well, we'll come to that. I mean, the anger is fueled by the fact that Minwoo won. I could have handled it if it was anybody else, but obviously Minwoo Lee winning was, you know, he's my favourite player. He's just a superstar, isn't he? 20 under par. And it wasn't just the golf, Jack. I mean, did you see what he was doing with the crowd, the interaction with the crowd, whipping him into a frenzy? The Minwoo thunderclap. The Minwoo thunderclap. It's just pure entertainment, isn't it? He even put the chef's hat on at the end. He's just a born entertainer. And it was great to watch at times last week, but obviously broke my heart from a punting perspective. I would have loved to have been on that journey with him.
I think when you see these really kind of convincing wins and, you know, just hitting the front and staying there, you expect it to be like tee to green masterclass, hitting every fairway, every green, very solid. But Minwoo, you know, he does it differently, doesn't he? He's so exciting, yeah. And he'll muster up shots that you don't see. And as you say, a real entertainer. Yeah, exactly.
One of my favourite words is that he is a swashbuckling golfer, and he's got the confidence now, isn't he? I mean, he believes in himself. You know, afterwards, he's talking about becoming world number one. His target's becoming world number one. Yeah, I've been predicting world number one status for Minwoo Lee for a while. I think it's entirely feasible now. He's got that inner belief in him.
We've got so many exciting young golfers to look forward to over the next few years, haven't we? Minwoo, Ludwig, who we had last week. I mean, the game is very strong at the moment. Any other things to note in Australia or want to forget about?
Well, no, it's a very similar tournament this week, isn't it, in terms of personnel? So we better save our juices for that. I've done my throat in with that intro with the with the growls has really affected me. What an error of judgment that was.
I'll provide some context around what we saw in Johannesburg last week, Steve. You went with Thriston Lawrence. It looked like a truly magical pick. He's won here before at big prices. He was Father Christmas for us a few years ago. Went with him near the top of the market. Was so convincing in the opening three rounds. Barely put a foot wrong. Off the tee, just superb. Hold plenty of putts. 3-shot lead going into Sunday, odds on. You expect him to just shoot, you know, somewhere between 65 and 68 and get the job done. And it couldn't have been further from that. It was a horror show off the tee. Couldn't hole any putts. I mean, what went wrong? Was it pressure getting to him in his home country? I mean, it was so unlike what we were used to from Thriston.
Yeah, the game disappeared, didn't it? He got worse every round, actually. 62, 66, 67, 75. As you say, hardly put a foot wrong on the first 3 days. I mean, I woke up on Sunday morning full of beans. Yeah, I really thought it was going to be an outstanding day because Smith's horror start in Brisbane on Thursday was good in a way.
Take a break. Do you want to take a break, Steve?
Let's just have one more slip.
Have a cough. It was, wasn't it? Because I know, you know, plenty of sweet spot viewers would have probably backed the double in play with Minwoo instead of Cam Smith and then got on Lawrence as well. So there was not only the single riding on this, but for a lot of people, the double would have been still there as well.
Yeah, that was the good thing because Smith bombed out so early, managed to get on the Minwoo Lee Lawrence double with decent in running prices. So a Lawrence victory would have won me almost as much as the Hogarth Aubert double the previous week. So I felt on such a roll, Jack. I was really feeling invincible until 9:55 a.m. on Sunday when Thriston teed off. And it rapidly went wrong, didn't it? I mean, he was 4 over par for the final round through 5 holes. He birdied the 7th to sort of revive hopes, didn't he? That was a beautiful birdie too. I thought, come on, we're back in this. When he bogeyed the 10th, the par 5 10th. And Burmester took full control. I mean, we were scrapping for the places from a long way out, weren't we? I mean, did you hedge? I hope a lot of sensible punters hedged. I mean, Burmester was 3-1 on Sunday morning. It was very difficult to see anyone else winning.
Yeah.
At that stage, plenty of punters would have gotten a good position there.
Burmester was the eventual winner. I think he was the favourite, wasn't he, coming into this tournament? But the most frustrating thing, Steve, is he didn't even necessarily have to play well on the Sunday. I mean, it was just kind of solid, did what he needed to do. I mean, the opening from Thriston was concerning. I think you were right. The bogey on that par 5, he was in a good position off the tee, lay up on your second and try and make a birdie. Still very much in it at that point. And it just looked to me like a complete head loss. It was nothing other than that.
Yeah, everything went wrong that could go wrong. There was one shot that hit the heel of a spectator, went flying into the trees and made a late double bogey. And then I'm just desperate for him to pick up one more shot. Thankfully, he did to get into the top 8. I was on him each way in the top 8 and he birdied 17. I may have to just pause the broadcast.
Take a minute, yeah.
But yeah, thank the Lord he finished in the top eight.
Steve, it was mightily disappointing that Thriston couldn't get the job done. But to be fair to Burmester, did what he needed to do, was the favourite. I guess if you're a neutral looking at the leaderboard at the end of the week, it's probably not too much of a dramatic top six, really, was it?
No, he's the 11-1 favourite at the start of Burmester. And he made a slow start. He admitted to being rusty on Thursday. Took a lot of time off. But from Friday onwards, absolutely brilliant golf, made loads of birdies. I mean, there was a small fitness concern pre-tournament because he withdrew from the Dunhill Links Championship on his previous DP World Tour start. So, you know, a bit of an injury cloud there. But he showed last week there was nothing to worry about. That was a red herring. He's fighting fit and he justified favouritism. So that's a DP World Tour hat trick for Burmy. And he booked an open place in the process, Jack. You see that because part of the Open qualification series, the Joburg Open. So he'll be pleased about that because for LIV golfers, no world ranking points. It's good to bag a major spot early doors.
Absolutely, Steve. I think concluding both of those tournaments, if we've ever had 2 weeks more, you know, contrasting each other, they were the two. Everything went right the week before. We landed the double. We told punters, you know, go in with it with a bit of caution because it never always goes
well. You did. Well done, mate. Yeah, well done. You did.
And and that's golf betting, right? Sometimes it goes well. Sometimes it doesn't. I think you should be happy with the players that we were on. They gave us a good run for their money, particularly in Joburg. But we've got three tournaments this week. Opportunity once more to turn things around. We shall start in the Australian Open at the Australian Golf Club, aptly named, the Lakes Golf Club, starting on Wednesday evening again?
Yeah, 8 p.m. start on Wednesday night for UK punters. Comes on the television at 1 a.m. Thursday morning.
Okay, let's take a quick look at the top of the market before we get the lowdown on the course from Steve Palmer. Last week's winner, Minwoo Lee, the favourite, flipping with Cameron Smith. Minwoo Lee 5-1, Cam Smith 6s, Cameron Davis 9-1, Adam Scott 10s, Joachim Niemann 14-1, Mark Leishman 16s, bigger the rest. Steve, I mean, good kind of form lines to look at from last week, a very similar tournament. Is the course similar or slightly different this time around?
Well, it's two courses, actually, Jack. Yeah, we're at the Australian Golf Club and the Lakes Golf Club, both in Sydney. We're close to each other in Sydney, Australia. The Australian is a 6,609-yard par 71. The Lakes is a 6,248-yard par 72. The Australian has hosted 21 Australian Opens, most recently 2004, 2007, 2014, 2015, 2017, 2019. The Lakes has hosted 7 Australian Opens, most recently 2010, 2011, 2012, 2018. This week's field plays 18 holes at each venue for the first 36 holes of the tournament, when the cut makers play the final 36 holes at the Australian. It has a tight track, lots of water hazards, firm, fast greens. The Lakes is more open. Scoring should be better there. Sunny and calm for the most part, but Sunday could be fascinating. Looks very windy on Sunday. Okay. 144 runners go into post.
Always tricky when you've got two courses to try and look at and find the best player. And nonetheless, how many selections for this one, Steve?
Two.
Two picks. Who is the headline selection?
Cameron Davis at 9-1. We struggled to pick between Cameron Smith and Minwoo Lee last week. We're not backing either of them this week. Smith was just so poor last week. I know we'll probably get a reaction from him. His practice will be more intense for sure going into this event, but his confidence surely took a hit. Pretty humiliating what happened to him last week. Humiliating for me, humiliating for him in front of Brisbane. Yeah, Brisbane's his home. Family and friends watching him play like a complete turkey. Minwoo might be the opposite. You know, he might be overconfident. This week's courses don't lend themselves to aggressive golf. You know, water everywhere, firm, fast terrain. It's more of a test of course management, precision, ball striking, control. I think Minwoo might come unstuck, and he's got a lot of extra attention to deal with now. He's the favourite, as you point out. His sister is playing this week. The Women's Aussie Open goes on at the same time at the same venue. So I just see distractions for Minwoo.
But the same venue.
Yeah. They did it. Yeah, last year we had two courses as well, two Melbourne courses. So they play simultaneously.
Oh, I see.
Minwoo and Minji may even be put together. I'm not sure whether they mix the sexes up, but there'll be loads of spotlight on Minwoo Lee and Minji Lee this week. And Minwoo, when he last played the Australian, he missed the cut in the 2019 Australian Open. So I think there are reasons for avoiding the two market leaders this week. I think we go with the bigger odds about Cameron Davis, who we left him alone last week because we thought it'd be too low scoring for him. And it was. It was 20 under par. Davis did his usual thing. Yeah, just brilliant ball striking, didn't hold his fair share. This week, more of a test of accuracy, more of a ball striking test. The courses are short, but they're tricky. We know Cameron Davis loves them. He was world number 1,494 when he turned up at the Australian for the 2017 Australian Open. He was playing on the Canadian tour at the time, missing lots of cuts on that, learning his trade. But he opened with a 63 at the Australian, closed with a 64, won the tournament, won his first title as a professional, kickstarted everything. He was born in Sydney. He's a Sydneyite. He knows the course well. It was a dream come true that week. And his career was just built from there. He went on to win on the Korn Ferry Tour in 2018. Then he won on the PGA Tour in 2021. Played on the President's Cup last year. And this year, he's excelled into massive events. He was sixth at the Players' Championship at Sawgrass in March. He was fourth in the USPGA. Yeah, this is a 28-year-old at the peak of his powers. And last week was so solid. He carded three rounds of 68. Then he closed with a 69, finished seventh. Six of his last eight tournaments, Jack, have resulted in a top 10 finish. He was third in the Fortinet Championship in September on the PGA Tour. So, yeah, I see a second Aussie Open title for Cameron Davis on Sunday.
A resounding argument. Cameron Davis around about 9-1 for the Australian Open. The second and the final pick for the Aussie Open, Steve, who are we going for?
We're keeping the faith with David Michaluzzi, who is 33-1 this week, a rising star of Australian golf. A 27-year-old Aussie. He's won four times on his home circuit in the last 14 months. He won the Victorian PGA Championship the week before last, full of form and confidence. He was 18th last week in the Aussie PGA. He's got a DP World Tour card safely in his pocket from winning the Australasian Tour Order of Merit. Nicely relaxed in comparison to others this week. I expect him to fire a really low round at the Lakes course this week. He finished fifth in the 2018 Australian Open at the Lakes. He was world number 923 coming into that event. And he was still outside the world's top 900 when he finished 33rd at the Australian in the 2019 Australian Open. So likes the courses, much more established now. I think he can mix it with Davis and the big boys.
How do you approach weeks like this, Steve, when you've got, you know, a tournament across two different courses? Are you looking for someone to really excel at one and just get by on the other, or a little bit more calm across the two? I mean, what's your preferred style here?
I think you're going to need a low round at the Lakes. I think the Lakes is a better scoring opportunity. So, yeah, I'll be praying all my boys go birdie crazy on the Lakes and then keep it steady at the other one. And then on Sunday, you know, anything could happen on Sunday. It's going to be very windy by all accounts.
Really looking forward to that. Let's move over to the South African Open. This one at the Blair Athol Golf Estate. Steve, again, a similar lineup in terms of the field to last week's tournament. I'll read through the top of the market. You can talk us through the course. Last week's winner, Dean Burmester, 7-1. Thriston Lawrence, the man that gave us so much hope and then let us down, 14s. Same price as Christian Bezuidenhout. Dan Bradbury, 18-1. Matty Schmidt, 20s. Bigger the rest, Steve. Again, much like what we saw in Australia, similar field. What can we expect from the course?
Yeah, the Blair Athol Golf and Equestrian Estate, Johannesburg, 8,161 yards, par 72 with five par fives. It's the third longest golf course in the world, by all accounts.
Just say how long again it is, because I think people might have just skipped over that. Just sure. How long is this course?
Yes, 8,161 yards, the third longest golf course in the world, designed by Gary Player. The venue is at altitude, so the balls will fly further in the rarefied air. Wide fairways, bomber's paradise, and punters have two pieces of course form to work from. The 2021 Blair Athol Championship on the Sunshine Tour and last year's South African Open, which was won by Thriston the Piston Lawrence. Sunny and calm weather is expected throughout this tournament. Temperatures peaking at 30°C, 156 runners going to post.
Okay, how many picks, Steve?
Oh, blimmin' it, be careful here. Four. All right, as you see, I've got gum on the go here. I've got gum in to try and recover. I made a really bad decision growling at the start. I think I'm recovering, but a four would have put me back to square one there. So, yeah, we got four.
I thought we might have had a voided bet on Steve Palmer to complete the kind of this week's sweet spot at one point. You were in a really bad way, but you've turned it round. You're back on form, Steve. Run us through your selections for this one.
The number one pick for the South African Open is Dean Burmester at 7-1, which I think is a perfectly fair price. We're not missing out this time. There were reasons for leaving him alone last week, but they have disappeared. Yeah, there was that slight injury concern that I mentioned earlier. He was, withdrew during the Dunhill Links Championship. I didn't know why. And he was lacking form. He was lacking recent form. Last week, he looked like the fittest man on the planet. You know, he's bombing enormous drives around a layout, which is really tight in places. Some of his driving on a tree line layout was spectacular. The form and confidence surged into his system on the Friday. He admitted he was rusty on Thursday. He'd had a lot of time off, but he found a groove. And this week's course suits him much better than last week's did. I think he fully deserves to be a shorter price for this than he was last week. We're back in one of the longest drivers in the world at the third longest golf course in the world. He'll make mincemeat of those five par fives. He was in poor form when he made his Blair Atoll debut in last year's South African Open, but fell in love with the venue, finished fifth. He's the most likely winner of this event by a long way for me. I think the Joburg Open, South Africa Open double awaits. He's got loads left in the tank, light schedule lately. I think he's going to win a third DP World Tour event in South Africa. He loves playing at home. And he's just, I know it's, boring. But it's not boring when you when we come to our each way trebles, mate, the boredom will lift.
I don't have the facts and figures to hand, Steve, so I may be wrong here, but it does feel over the last, I don't know, 5 years or something on these little circuits in South Africa, you do get maybe not always back to back, but I think we had it with Bezuidenhout, didn't we? We've seen it with Lawrence before. It does happen quite regularly out on the kind of South African scene. So, okay, yeah. Dean Burmester, last week's winner. We're going in with him 7-1, best price or there or thereabouts. Three more selections, Steve. Who's up next?
And they're all South Africans, my tips here. The last five South African Opens have been won by a South African.
Okay.
As you say, they relish the conditions in their homeland. I think South Africans will dominate the National Open this week. And I think the biggest danger to Dean Burmester is Henny de Plethith, who is now best price 22-1. Henny de Plethith loves teeing up on home turf. He's played really well in this event in the past. He was sixth in the 2020 South African Open. He was third in the 2021 South African Open. He was ninth at Blair Atoll last year in the South African Open. It's understandable that he likes Blair Atoll. He's a big boy. He's full of power. He's got two titles on the Sunshine Tour. He's contended in a couple of DP World Tour events in Spain. And recently, really impressive, 10th in the BMW PGA at Wentworth, 14th in the Dunhill Links, 6th in the Nedbank Challenge, 21st last week in the Joburg Open. I think it's worth mentioning how well off Henny de Plethith is. Because Henny, easy to forget, he had a brief but hugely profitable stay on the LIV circuit. He finished runner-up in the very first LIV event, LIV London. He won $3 million in his first event, but his work and being on the winning team. He played in two more LIV events after that, made a bit more money, then had to make way for more famous players who joined. I think it's a massive factor. When you're filthy rich, it takes a lot of pressure off you. This is a lad seeking his maiden DP World Tour title, but he hasn't got to worry about money. So he's comfortable and confident.
That must be a lovely... It's always worked out well for him, hasn't it? I almost forgot Liv was still a thing, but go over there for a bit, sit in the sun, earn some cash, and then actually come back to the proper stuff
that you've
made enough. I mean, ideal, really, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It's all worked out nicely for Henry de Plethith.
Henry de Plethith, 22-1. He's the second choice in the South African Open for Steve Palmer. Who's up next?
Casey Jarvis. 80-1 out there. That is an exciting price. We're keeping the faith. He didn't do a lot wrong last week when we were on him. Tied 37th. He got more room off the tee this week. He can open his shoulders. This is a young, powerful, aggressive lad. Blair Atoll, the perfect playground for him. He's only 20 years old, but I feel he's ready to win. His amateur career was incredible. This year, he's won on the Challenge Tour. He won the Eurobank Open in July. Prior to that, he had five runner-up finishes on various tours. Carded that 59 we mentioned in the Sunshine Tour event in April. This is a beast of a golfer. I think he's great value this week.
One would assume that the length of this course means it is wide open. Is that the case?
Very much the case, yeah. You've got to be very errant to get in trouble around here. You've got Crocodile River running through the course. So if you hit a completely wild one, you'll end up in Crocodile River. You don't want to end up in there.
Brilliant. And fourth and final selection for this week's tournament.
Dion Gurmishes, who were on last week. Yeah, yeah. He's 100-1 this week.
And, he teased us a little bit, didn't he?
Oh, did he ever? Yeah. He made loads of birdies last week and had a couple of horror holes. Finished 21st. Yeah, this is a 24-year-old building confidence. Graduated from the Challenge Tour last season. He was ninth in the ISPS Handa Championship in April. He won that US Open qualifier at Walton Heath in May. And he was 15th in the Sudal Open, third in the KLM Open. Had a quiet summer from there, but as we expected, he loved coming home last week. Finished 21st in the Joburg Open. I think he'd be even more fond of Blair Atoll. He finished 21st in the Blair Atoll Championship in 2021, and he was 23rd in last year's South African Open there. He opened with three rounds of 69 last year, got a bit edgy on Sunday and dropped down, but more confident 12 months on, lively outsider.
Okay, I like that lineup, Steve. Three players I want to quickly spin through and the reasons why you didn't select them. Thurston Lawrence, Christian Bezuidenhout, Wilco Nienaber. What was the reason for opposing those guys?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't recovered from Sunday. I'm not sure Thurston will have done either. I mean, there's a huge psychological blow. We know he likes this course. I think he'd do all right. But I think he'd be shell-shocked if he comes up against Burmester in the final tuple again. I think Burmester's quite an intimidating player to play alongside. Yeah. You could see that on Sunday. Yeah, Burmester's driving is spectacular. And, Thurston, he had the hooks early on. I fancy Burmester to play well. I don't think Thurston will enjoy going up against him if that happens again on Sunday.
It's interesting you note that. I think it was the second time Thurston had got a dose of the hooks off the tee and he stuck it in that bush.
Yeah.
And he's sort of shouting for, and it's obviously going miles off the course. And there was a little sneaky from Burmester, and you could see Thurston wasn't happy with it, where Burmester's just pointed. Yeah. So far, and it just rubs salt into the wounds. He knows it's going that way. There's no spectator there, and that's just going, you know what, mate? I'm gonna rub this in. I thought, you cheeky devil.
Well, I think you're right. I think Burmester was winding people up just with his hat. You know, he had his Stinger's hat on, didn't he? His lifts, yeah, big S on his hat, on his cap. That's for Stinger's, his LIV team. And it sort of just rubbed the noses in of the DP World Tour guys who haven't had that opportunity to earn fortunes. Thurston never got a sniff of the LIV circuit. And who was the other ones?
Bezuidenhout and Nienaber.
Bezuidenhout's a funny one because he didn't enter the South African Open last year because, I assumed it's because Blair Atoll was such a monstrous track that he didn't fancy. He doesn't hit the ball very far in comparison to others. This is a real slog for Bezuidenhout. He's entered this year. I wonder whether he just wants a good night's sleep because he's got a newborn baby at home. I think maybe he's just come along to get more sleep at the Blair Atoll than he will at home at the moment. So I think that's why he's entered this year. But I think it's quite revealing that he didn't enter last year. I think he knows this. It'd be he'd have to putt extremely well to win this week. And the other one, who's the other one?
Nienaber, Wilco.
Wilco. He'll love the length of this course. He just hasn't played well the last couple of weeks, and I think how his career is stalling is really frustrating him. It's frustrating me. I mean, he hasn't got full playing rights anywhere. Winning the South African Open is such a big deal for South Africans at the best of time. But to win the South African Open when you haven't even got any status on the DP World Tour, it's just too much at stake. I do love the boy, but I don't think he'll be able to handle the pressure if he had a chance of winning this.
Okay, it'll be nice to watch those long levers of his in motion without any pressure that it doesn't really matter where it goes because we're not on him. Okay, great stuff, Steve. That's the South African Open. Let's take a look at the final tournament for this week. And I'm sure we'll have an each-way treble to give you as well. This one, the Hero World Challenge. Where are we playing, Steve?
We're at the Albany, New Providence, Bahamas. Do you want to do the prices before I continue?
Of course. Let me read you through the top of the market. I mean, this is a brilliant field. Victor Hovland, your favourite, 15-4. Scotty Scheffler, 19-4. Colin Morikawa, 15-2. Homer, 15-2. Thomas, 16-1. Bigger the rest. A small field, Steve. Your favourite man in the world is in it. I mean, this should be exciting.
It should. The course is 7,449 yards. Par 72, five par fives. We've got two courses with five par fives this week. Five par threes. The World Challenge moved to Albany in 2015. A luxury resort. Only opened in 2010. Ernie Els designed the course. He's a member there. Tiger Woods, as you say, is a member there. It's an easy track if you've got some muscle. You know, long, open, hardly any rough. It's at the mercy of big hitters. We got moderate breezes for the first 2 days, which may check the scoring a little bit. But a calm weekend should be a birdie fest. The last four winners of this event have been European. Field of 20 goes to post, no cut.
Okay. How many selections?
One.
Just the one. Who is the one and only for the Hero World Challenge?
The one and only is the 4-1 chance of Victor Hovland. I think 4-1, if you can still get 4-1, gobble it up. Yes, you know, some tournaments take me ages to work out. You know, the whittling down process can be hugely laborious and frustrating. You get tournaments like the Aussie PGA last week where you're wrestling between two names for what seems like an eternity. And then sometimes you get a tournament like the 2023 Hero World Challenge. It's so easy. It takes about 5 minutes to work out. You know, Victor Hovland just wins the Hero World Challenge like he did in 2021, like he did in 2022. You know, the Hovland hat trick looks gilt edge to me. On opening shows, you could get Hovland with each way terms of a quarter of the odds the first four places. Yeah, that's one of the most solid investments you'll ever have. Now it's 4-1 with fifth the odds first four places. Still a great bet. 20 runner event. Tiger Woods is playing, as you say. You know, nothing can be expected of him. He'll just be looking to keep things respectable this week. Will Zalatoris is coming back from a long injury layoff as well. Can't expect anything from him. Jason Day spends half his life in a wheelchair. I mean, you know, you've got cropped golfers coming here, haven't you? Rusty Crocs. Lucas Glover is a course debutant with little chance. Yeah, this is supposed to be an elite event, but there's so few credible title challenges, Jack. You know, an each way bet on Hovland looks so solid for me with four places. For various reasons, nobody else makes any appeal. There's been money for Scotty Scheffler. He's got such a loyal army of followers of Scotty Scheffler. He's pushing Hovland for favouritism with some firms because there's been early money for him. I can't understand the money for Scheffler. Yeah, this is a man who essentially fell out of love with golf at the end of last season. He's winless since the Players' Championship in March because he can't putt for toffee. You know, he was rubbish in the Tour Championship, then literally in tears in the Ryder Cup. Jay, you must remember that.
Yeah.
You know, he's humiliated at the hands of Victor Hovland and Ludvig Aubert in the Saturday foursomes. A record-breaking 9-7 defeat. Then he went off for a little cry. You know, Scheffler didn't win a match in the Ryder Cup. He wanted to put his clubs deep in the cupboard. He wanted to forget about golf. I think he'll be so rusty. And I think he's only playing this week because it's Tiger Woods' event. You know, Tiger Woods is the host. He doesn't want to annoy Tiger. But I'm not expecting anything from Scheffler. I much prefer the player who has edged Scheffler into second place in the last two World Challenges. The last two World Challenges, Hovland first, Scheffler second, Hovland first, Scheffler second. And Hovland, the total opposite of Scheffler in the last few months. Obviously, he won the Tour Championship. Amazing FedEx Cup campaign for Hovland. He was brilliant in the Ryder Cup. It was an absolute joy for him, that tournament. He's had a positive appearance since. You know, I talk about Scheffler being rusty. Hovland could not believe how good a state his game was in when he played in the DP World Tour Championship the week before last. Remember that one? He slipped straight into the old routine. He was straight back in the groove, tied for second place behind Nicolai Hoggart. So that warm-up spin gives Hovland such an edge over Scheffler for me. Hovland's got 100% record at the Albany. Played it twice, won it twice. You know, loves coastal tracks. I just can't see anyone beating him. There's a one player I give any sort of hope of beating Hovland. And that's Colin Morikawa. But then Hovland stuffed Morikawa in the Ryder Cup singles. If they're going up against each other on Sunday, it's all about the Hov.
Steve, that's a convincing argument, as I've heard from you since Ludwig a couple of weeks ago, and that fared well. So, okay,
yeah,
a very convincing argument for Victor Hovland in the Hero World Challenge. That means, talk us through your each-way treble for the three tournaments this week. Who have we got?
Well, this is probably the most exciting bet of the year. I really am sort of trembling with excitement this week. I can't contain myself. I can't spake. I mean, I can't spake. I know I did that silly thing at the start, which probably ruined the entire podcast. But yeah, I'm all over the show this week with excitement because, yeah, we've only got seven tips here. Lucky seven selections across three tournaments. Yeah, you could do each way trebles on all of them if you so wish. I'm not. I'm just doing one. Obviously, Cameron Davis for the Australian Open, Dean Burmester for the South African Open, Victor Hovland for the Hero World Challenge, an each way treble on that. I've got 349-1.
340. I think that was the price, the double return, wasn't it? I mean, that would be weird if it was the same price.
Yeah, it does treble, ring a bell, doesn't it? Yeah. Yeah. If you get 9-1 Davis, 6-1 Burmester, I think you got to say 9-1, 6-1, 4-1. That's 349-1. Yeah, you make nice money off the places treble. Yeah, it's good. Yeah, it's so exciting, isn't it? I love triple headers. I really fancy the short ones here. Sorry, you're gonna have to stop me. I could talk about this each way treble for another 90 minutes.
Let's run through all of the runners for this week, and then you can bubble with excitement for a few minutes at the end of the show. So let's talk through all of our bets so people can jot them down. We'll start in the Australian Open.
Cameron Davis, David Michaluzzi.
South African Open.
Dean Burmester, Henny de Plethith, Casey Jarvis, Dion Gurmishes.
And the one in the Hero World Challenge.
Victor Hovland.
Good. Steve, what does the rest of the week have in store for you? It sounds like you're needing to recover. Your throat sounds like it's in a world of bother at the moment.
Yeah, I've been overdoing it lately. I have to be perfectly honest. The darts final on Sunday night really did me in because I was having a bad weekend on the golf, as you well know, and I backed Luke Humphreys for the Players' Championship finals at the start of the tournament. And, you know, Luke really salvaged the golfing weekend by winning against Michael van Gerwen in a thrilling final. I've been a bit throaty since then, I guess, and I've finished myself off. But, I got an exciting week ahead because it's not just each way treble. The girls are off to Brighton for the weekend. It's just me and Tommy Tiger off the leash.
What activities have you got planned?
He's got his football training on Saturday. He has football training on Saturday mornings, but from there we've got a blank canvas to do as we please. So we may watch a little bit of golf. We may visit a public house. I don't know.
Weymouth, watch out. there we go. Steve, thank you as always. Please remember, if you are following in with Steve's selections, to do so responsibly. And we will be back next week. What have we got, Steve? We've got the Alfred Dunhill.
This is the last big week of golf, I'd say, because, there'll be a lot of golf punters that'll be hanging up their their punting pens after after this week, because next week, you've got the Alfred Dunhill. Yeah, pretty boring event, but yeah, the biggest event next week. And then what used to be the Shark Shootout, the pairs event. I think Ludwig Albert is playing in that.
That's reason to be excited and keep the pen jotting for a few more weeks. Sure. Steve, thanks as always. Rest up, and we'll see you all next week for another episode of The Sweet Spot.